tap tap, a tap tap, wap bop tap, a tap tap. Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, Rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, and dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out of the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb man, herb, herb man, herb man.
Why can't you go, my mama can't never leave you. Go, my lady, get down. I'll put my hand in the gang in the wood. Go, my mama, go, bum. Head it down and line it up on my mouth. Put the thing in the bullet bump. Where the gang in the lonely bone, bullet bump, bridge.
Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all must see me. Herb man, hot cayenne, hot lady cayenne. For my blood pressure, passion flower. Lady Lavender on my pillow make me sleep good at night, and golden seal, chamomile, nutmeg make your breath smell sweet, cassava for your snake bites, uh-huh. Oh, I'm your man, you all come see me.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of To Your Health, a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, trusty assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing today, Brother Frank?
Doing well, Doc. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, thank you. And today we're going to introduce a series that we're going to do on a subject that is so interesting, dementia. And today we're going to start out talking about nutrition and dementia. I was talking to one of my ophthalmology colleagues a few weeks ago, and I was telling him about some research that I had done and it found out that lutein and zeaxanthin, some nutrients, pigment nutrients that come from dark leafy vegetables, and that he had recommended me a number of years ago when he said that you'd be beginning to develop some cataracts. So I said, Doc, do I need surgery? Of course, I wasn't going to have any. But he said, no, you need to eat more broccoli, you know. And those green leafy vegetables, broccoli, contain the zeaxanthin and luteins that help to improve the vision. Well, what I discovered is that it also can help prevent and even reverse dementia. And to discuss something like this, I can't possibly do it on my own. And so we've asked for one of my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Milton Mills, to assist us. Brother Frank, tell our audience a little bit about the background of this outstanding gentleman.
Doc, we have today a regular heavyweight health expert, Dr. Milton Mills. He is a Stanford-trained physician where he began working with AIDS patients, served as student body president of the medical school, founded the Minority Students Alliance, and worked as editor-in-chief and managing editor of the Stanford Medical School newspaper. He did his residency at Georgetown Hospital in D.C. Dr. Mills has published several research journal articles dealing with racial bias in the federal nutrition policy. He practices urgent care at United Medical Center in Southeast Washington. He also served as Associate Director of Preventive Medicine and as a member of the National Advisory for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Dr. Mills is prominently featured in What the Health, a documentary about natural healing through diet and lifestyle change. He donates much of his time and skills at free medical clinics, and he frequently speaks at hospitals, churches, community centers, and truth-based conferences about healing major chronic disease with nutrition. Dr. Mills contributes extensively to our medical re-education on social media, especially YouTube, with such subjects as dairy is dangerous, carnivores versus herbivores, and the harms of animal-based protein, diet, and brain, among many other vital health topics. Doc?
All right. Dr. Mills, why are you so interested in this topic of dementia?
Well,
and in particular, the nutritional aspects of it.
Because we have seen, and the literature has shown time and again, that coming back to a fully plant-based diet reverses all the chronic diseases that we see afflicting people. Heart disease, hypertension, stroke, diabetes, autoimmune problems.
Kidney failure.
Yes, thank you. That's a really important one. And the reason is because the underlying pathophysiology in all those conditions is the same. The only reason it looks like different diseases is because you're looking at different tissues. Mm-hmm. So then naturally the question was, it's been shown we can reverse heart disease, diabetes, all these other things by changing the diet. Is that possible with the brain? And again, there are both personal reasons. I have two 91-year-old parents. My dad has what I think is vascular dementia that has been slowly progressive and affects his long-term memory and even his ability to form short-term memories. My mom is starting to show some indications of cognitive decline, but I'm convinced based on the rate at which I've seen these problems develop and their timing that she is suffering from more nutritional deficiencies related to how her brain functions. Because studies have shown that elderly people who subsist on fast food start to show signs that look like accelerated cognitive decline. But what it really is the absence of those nutrients, those phytochemicals, like you were just mentioning, Dr. Watkins, the lutein and zeaxanthin and other phytonutrients and phytochemicals that will actually help the brain work properly. And that if we can get these people with this rapidly developing cognitive decline back on a healthy, nutritious diet, that you can quickly reverse some of these deficits that we see developing. And it's not just and this is just the amazing part. It's not just things like the pigments and so forth that we see, because they really are markers for probably 1,000 or more, or 10,000.
This is why I love you so, brother. because see, I'm waiting for you to stop. And I'm going to say, why is it we can't just give them lutein and zeaxanthin? why is it that we're recommending the collard greens and the kale, you know, and you're answering it, you know? It's because it's more than just those single nutrients. It just so happens that because they accumulate in the macula,
and we can see them
and measure, but they represent, Brother Frank and I did a show a month or two ago, looking at vitamins and minerals, and we said, should it be pills or food?
Right.
What the research shows. So it's not just my opinion. It's not just your opinion. What the research shows is there's something called synergy. What are we talking about when we talk about synergy with these nutrients?
Sure. That the whole is much more than the sum,
and that the parts.
Right. And that these nutrients, only some of which have been identified, must all be present to work together to achieve the result that we're hoping to see. And for instance, and so one of the things that I was leading up to is fiber, because we have been led to believe that plant fiber is just cellulose, and that is flatly not true. The fact is that every type of plant that we see it's like a human being, has its own constellation of various types of fiber that when acted on by our microbiome will create, again, thousands of breakdown products that we have yet to identify, but that work to improve our health. Some of the most important and even exciting research being done now is looking at how our microbiome affects every single organ system in our body, and especially our mind, because it's been shown conclusively people who eat plant-based diets are at lower risk for depression, anxiety, and other mental disorders, and that fiber breakdown products can impede the development of amyloid plaques, and so on and so on. It has been shown that humans who lived thousands of years ago ate 90 to 104 grams of fiber every single day. Most humans, even most plant-based humans, barely get up to 50 or 60 a day. So when you realize that our microbiome is responsible for creating all of these health-promoting and health-preserving products, we're starving our microbiome. And if you're eating meat, grease, and dairy, you're killing the good guys and opening the door for a bunch of pathogenic species.
Now, many of our listeners understand when you talk about the microbiome, but some of them don't. So briefly break down, what are you talking about, man?
Well,
and why is it so important?
Exactly. So let me introduce that by talking about food retention time. What I'm referring to is the amount of time a meal stays in your body. Where is it and what is it doing? Food will pass out of your stomach. A meal will pass out of your stomach in something like 3 hours. About 3 hours after you're eating, you've eaten a meal, your stomach's empty. Now, we all know that we have at least 25 to 30 feet of small intestine. And I think most people think, and as I thought before I went to medical school, that's where the food is spending most of its time, working its way down that 30 feet of small intestine. Not true. A meal passes through the small intestine in 2 hours. Okay, so we got 3 hours plus two. I mean, 3 hours plus two, that's five. An average meal stays in the human body 14 to 16 hours. So that means that the majority of that time is in our colons. And it's there because it's supposed to be allowing the bacterial population in our colon to act on that the residue from the meal, the various types of fibers, and break them down into all sorts of important physiologic compounds that decrease inflammation, boost immunity, improve brain functioning. But we're not eating the right food, because what the healthy microbiome needs are all of these various types of plant fiber I'm talking about. And I don't mean bran. I'm talking about all of the things that actually make up plant tissues. And it's important to get I look at them as softer plants, like the green leafy vegetables, the root vegetables, the legume fiber, the grain fiber. And you need that broad category so that the various types of the bacteria in the colon can do their job. The fact is that you have more bacterial cells in your body than you actually have cells that make up your body. We're talking, there are billions of somatic cells, that is, that make up our body. There are trillions of bacterial cells in our microbiome. And if we're eating a plant-based diet, we literally feed the healthy bacteria. They come to prominence, crowd out any pathogens, and that then can improve our overall physiology.
So what you're saying is that we have healthy bacteria, and then we have unhealthy bacteria.
Absolutely.
And generally when we hear the word bacteria, we think about unhealthy bacteria. But you're suggesting, and fortunately is backed up by research,
thank you,
that the majority of the bacteria, if we eat the right foods, is healthy bacteria.
Precisely.
And it's good for us.
Right. And, you know, this may sound a little, queasy, off color for people, but you can use that glib expression people use, does it pass the smell test? And the fact of the matter is that when you have a plant-based diet and someone has a bowel movement, it will not cause you to put on a hazmat suit. It's much less malodorous. Sometimes it barely has an odor. Whereas people who are eating an animal food-based diet, the reason their stools smell so bad is because instead of the fermentation or breakdown of plant fiber, what's going on in their colons is putrefaction. It is the process that occurs when a body dies and rots. And literally, the food that they eat is rotting in their large intestine and releasing all of these toxins and damaging chemicals into their bloodstream that will then cross into the blood-brain barrier and cause problems there too. And before I forget, I have to throw out this point that we have now learned that the benefit of fiber starts before we are born. Studies have shown that women who eat a very high fiber diet have babies whose brains are much better developed. And that their children go on to have fewer mental health type issues.
Mental and emotional.
And emotional, exactly. So, that to me is an incredible thing to realize, that the influence of a plant-based diet begins as we develop as babies. And that influence continues throughout our life if we're eating the right food. If we're not.
You know, it's interesting. At one point I had a office over in Northeast in the housing projects. And initially most of the clients were children. And I would get upset because they would come in time and time again with all these colds and up respiratory tract infections. And so I went and met with the principal of the elementary school. I said, you know, I'm going to I want to come in and do some education with the students and with the parents. But then a lady wrote, read an article about the leader of that community and came and said, look, I would like to introduce this healthy cookie to the children. All right. She had made up this candy bar and these cookies that were healthy. They were made from whole foods, all right? And so she introduced that, and then she did cooking classes for the family and introduced healthy, tasty foods, and the children start eating it. I never had to meet at the school. Why? Because when they start eating, their colds, flus cut down, their ADHD, all that hyperactivity decreased. It was amazing what had happened. It was like they had brain surgery, you know? And this happened within a few weeks, you know? And so what you're saying is the process starts during the caring of the baby, during the pregnancy,
right,
but it extends throughout life. It's going even into adulthood and senior years. It's all
this broadcast has been pre-recorded, therefore we will have no callers today.
Terrible problem that we call dementia. Now, you mentioned something when we were talking before about a difference between regular dementia and Alzheimer's. Could you sort of talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Presentation, how it's different.
Yes. So Alzheimer's is a specific type of dementia that is characterized by progressive personality disorganization A person's personality progressively becomes more disorganized, and these people lose their ability to feed themselves, take care of themselves. They can't get dressed. They don't even know who they are. And they typically
lose themselves.
They lose themselves. They typically become more violent and angry and have outbursts because it's like the control centers in their brain are gone. And so now you have these emotional outbursts that are not controlled and processed by the outer cortex, and you're dealing with someone who's acting more like a wild animal. And it also causes organ dysfunction and predisposes the person to succumbing to diseases that can affect older person. So Alzheimer's is a very devastating disease because people just become, as I said, disorganized. Now, Ted, let me just tell very quickly. My dad, I mentioned he had dementia, and his has been progressing over the last at least 12 to 15 years. But it presents primarily as a memory problem. My dad can still dress himself, feed himself, with some assistance, bathe himself because he got COVID and lost the ability to walk. But you can still hold a conversation with him. He will forget who I am. Like, I'll say, hey, I'll go to visit and say, who are you? I'm like, Dan, I'm your second son. And we start talking about things. And then maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, he'll say, did I go to high school with you? And just let me throw this in really quickly. My dad and basketball player, now I'm blanking on his name. It'll come back to me. Anyway, they were in the same class at McCormick's High School, and my dad likes to bring that up from time to time. But at any rate, his central personality is still intact, but his memory is obviously very involved. with his dementia. But he's nice, he's pleasant, he's calm. He doesn't have violent outbursts. So it's a very different process going on.
But Alzheimer's, he would be much more violent.
First of all, I don't think he would have, he'd be alive after 15 plus years with Alzheimer's. Because and yes, he would be violent and difficult to control, and and that's another issue, is that, you know, the typical response to patients with Alzheimer's is to give them these drugs that can really, in some ways, exacerbate the problem as opposed to helping it. And it's crudely directed at symptoms as opposed to the underlying
problem.
Yeah.
So in order to correct the problem, we need to understand it. And we've sort of hit on the surface of it. But one of the things that we know is directly associated with dementia is a diet high in animal and fat and protein. Why is that?
Because you're saying, why is Alzheimer's related to diets high in fat and protein?
Yeah,
it's because they accelerate atherosclerosis, or the narrowing of arteries within the central nervous system. And one of the things that people don't understand is that our brain only accounts for literally 3% of our body weight, but every day the brain uses fully 25% of the energy we burn, 40% of the glucose we utilize, because the brain runs on nothing but glucose, and 20% of the oxygen pumped by our heart. That means that if the arteries that are supplying the brain with oxygen and nutrients get clogged up with cholesterol and fat, that the brain is being starved of oxygen and nutrients that it needs. But equally important, it can't get rid of all of the metabolic byproducts of that unbelievably furious rate of metabolism. And so not only is it not getting enough nutrients in a relative sense, it's also not able to keep itself clean. And I know you can speak to this too, Dr. Watkins. The primary time the brain does its housekeeping is during deep sleep. And if we are in a situation where for a variety of reasons, we aren't able to get deep sleep, then again, we deprive the brain of its ability to police itself, house clean. And it's thought that as this dirt and detritus or metabolic byproducts start to accumulate, they then coalesce into these amyloid plaques, which are hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease, tangled up proteins. And in the brain's attempt to clear itself out from these these plaques and so forth, that it ends up killing brain neurons and causing brain shrinkage. And that's how the process will eventually become irreversible brain loss.
Yeah, you know, it's so amazing. We've looked at a number of theories of why we have dementia. We've talked about lead, we've talked about aluminum, we've talked about all kinds of things, but it seems that everything points to some kind of nutritional issue with the brain. Yes. And yet, as a society, that seemed to go over our head. You know, we are a bit demented as a society because we've lost the ability to really think this thing through, to its logical conclusion.
Is that on purpose? Is that on purpose?
Some of it is. Some of it is.
Yeah. And it goes back to what they say, that denial ain't just a river in Egypt. That people don't want to accept that it's the foods they are addicted to that are causing the problems we're seeing. But the research is showing us over and over that all roads lead to nutrition. And that because we're eating things that our bodies were not designed to eat, we are creating the diseases that we see affecting us as we age. And you know, it's like if you bought a brand new car and every third or fourth time you went to the gas station, you filled it up with diesel instead of gas. It's going to tear that engine apart. And that's what we're doing to our bodies by continually ingesting animal foods that it was, that our system simply weren't designed to handle.
So, this problem of dementia, and of certainly Alzheimer's is the one that we talk about the most.
Right.
But it is very, very difficult. I had a patient, a daughter of a patient of mine who's been my patient for 30-some years, called me just yesterday, and she was so frustrated because her mother is developing progressive Alzheimer's because she's very aggressive. She went and washed her hair and then went to the bedroom where her husband was and just shook her head with all the water all over him and wetted him up, you know, just an aggressive behavior, you know, because she's angry. Why, we don't know, but you know, it's just amazing. So I said, well, you know, she needs to be in some kind of controlled environment.
Right.
But the problem is, number one, she's lived in that house for years, and it'd be traumatic to take her out the house. But at the same time, she is not functioning well in the house.
Right.
All right. And she's not eating, or she's not eating the right thing. And her daughter said, my mother has been into vitamins and natural stuff for years, but she won't take the vitamins and the nutrients that you recommended to her. She refuses to take it. And half the time she won't take her medication, although she's on very little medicine, but she'll take it occasionally, but she will not take the nutrients that would help her to have some level sustainability,
right.
You know. But what are you going to do? You're going to take her out and put her in a setting that will continue to feed her foods that are low in nutrients?
So, Ted, that is the million-dollar question of how do we deal with this? Well, clearly what we need are skilled nursing facilities, known as SNFs, and or assisted living facilities that are entirely plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
That essentially the only options they provide for people are healthy, nutritious, balanced options. Because I think that if we could get people there early in their course of these kinds of problems, that we would start to see people coming back to who they were, because the processes that were accelerating the mental decline would stop, and then their bodies would be provided with the nutrition and everything it needs to actually start to repair the damage that's been done. But, and I've even toyed with the idea of, well, if you can have a SNF that serves, you know, the SAD diet, standard American diet,
mm-hmm.
why can't you have a plant-based SNF that would only serve plant-based foods? I mean, whatever government subsidies that you know, help keep these places open, should be available to someone who wanted to run one that was completely based on.
You know. I mean, you're expecting too much logic. You know. First of all, we don't believe that these diseases can be controlled. That's number one. We just think that they're just
relentless
downhill. When I left surgery and started practicing holistic medicine, most of my patients were stage four cancer patients, you know, mm-hmm. that have basically been sent home to die. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, you know, I said, I got to help some of these people. Otherwise, the word would get out. Don't go to Watkins.
Yeah.
If you go to Watkins, you're going to die. Now, they were half dead when they came. But what I found, when I would change their diet, these patients that had been sent home to die, I remember I had this one patient, he had brain cancer. He had gone to Johns Hopkins, and they had sent him home to die. And instead of dying, he came to me. And so after about 6 months, Johns Hopkins called my office because evidently he told him he was coming to me, and they wanted to know the date that he died. And my secretary, who was in Jamaica, said, well, he ain't dead. I said, is he not dead? We've had two CAT scans to show that his cancer is gone.
Wow. You know? Wow.
But we did it with what? Diet.
The diet.
Right? The same kind of diet that will take that ravenous cancer and eat it up and reverse it and return the tissues to normal, you're suggesting that can take that highly metabolic brain that's so diseased and turn it around and get it moving in the right direction also.
Absolutely. Because I want to point out something very, very important, because the plant-based diet not only helped the brain heal itself and get rid of the cancer, it also stopped feeding the cancer. Mm-hmm. And I have a lecture on diet and cancer. And the thing that I point out to people is I'll show them three animals, a cow, an elephant, a rhino. And I'm like, what's their natural diet? And people say plants. And that's true. Then my next question, what's the only time in these animals' lives when they eat animal protein? And 80% of the people say never, but 20%, the light bulb goes off. And they say when they're babies, when they're feeding from their mothers. And that's the point, that animal protein in a plant-based adult animal is recognized to be a growth signal. And it turns on genes and pumps out growth hormones that feed and stimulate cancer. And that's why the typical course for someone who is diagnosed with cancer is they go see an oncologist who prescribes a bunch of toxic chemotherapy chemicals that will shrink the tumor. But at the same time, they're continuing to eat the things that feed the cancer. And so essentially what they're selecting for are the resistant cancer cells. Because the ones that are easily killed off are killed by the chemo, but since they're still feeding them, the ones that are resistant to chemo are the ones that hang around. And then soon as the chemo stops, what happens? As my colleague, Dr. Bastian Montgomery says, it's like throwing lighter fluid on hot coals. The cancer comes back, and this time it's almost impossible to treat.
Right, right. It comes back with a vengeance. You know, it comes back with a vengeance.
Because you've selected for the ones that won't respond to the chemo by feeding them during the process of trying to destroy the cancer cells.
So we know that the plant base is good. We know that exercise is good. We know that decreasing stress is good. You talked about sleep. You know, every time I get a new patient, I ask them, tell me about your sleep. And while they're thinking, I say, well, what time do you go to bed? Well, we go to bed at 10, 11, then what time do you go to sleep?
Right.
We go to sleep at 12, 1. And then what time do you get up? Oh, we get up 5, 6. If they're retired, we get up at 8. You know, then how many times do you get up during the night? We get up 3, 4, 5 times during the night. So in other words, we are in a situation, most, as you have said and certainly implied, most healing occurs while we sleep. All right.
This broadcast has been pre-recorded, therefore we will have no callers today.
Puberty, its main function is help to heal.
Right.
So you know, we're giving our bodies every reason to decrease.
Absolutely.
And not giving it reasons to get well.
Right. We're living in a world that has been designed to kill us. Okay. That's something that everybody needs to keep in mind all the time, that the devil's trying to kill you. And therefore, your job needs, the stresses in your life are all designed to counteract your ability to stay healthy. And as you mentioned, because most of the brain's housekeeping is done during deep sleep, not napping, if you're not getting enough deep sleep, you're not keeping your house clean. And I use the analogy of if you decided to turn your home into a business and you go from a situation where you have 6 people living there to, you know, 100 people coming in and out of the home every day. Well, obviously you're going to accumulate a lot more dirt, a lot more trash that needs to be swept, and the house is going to need to be cleaned more aggressively. Well, if you never shut down long enough for that housekeeping to occur, what's going to happen? You're going to accumulate dirt and you know, spilled items all over your floor to the point where your house is going to be a disgusting mess. And that is an analogy to what a lot of people believe is happening with Alzheimer's, is that it's the accumulation of all these metabolic byproducts that then tend to coalesce into these amyloid plaques, which then stimulates the brain to try to get rid of them, and it sends in white blood cells to kill them. But in the process, it ends up killing normal tissue. And if the process goes on long enough, you kill off enough neural tissue where it becomes unrecoverable in a sense.
Mm. So now the problem is that here you are suggesting that people should eat this disgusting whole food plant-based diet. You know, I mean, isn't death better than that?
You know what? This is the way I tell people. I tell them, if you go plant-based and that going plant-based is like having sex. If you went plant-based and didn't enjoy it, you weren't doing it right. Okay? Because plant-based foods are incredible. The things you can do with plants is amazing. And you know, people say, oh, I don't like tofu. That's because you don't know how to cook. Because tofu is one of the most versatile plant-based.
It has no taste on its own.
Right. And you can change the texture. You can change the flavor. There's thousands of ways you can utilize a tofu. And I'm not just saying that, oh, tofu should be the basis of your diet. My point is that people who say that they haven't had an enjoyable plant-based meal, or that they get bored, simply haven't learned how to cook.
Mm-hmm. I remember my brother-in-law early on when I first got married, he came to visit us. And my wife had fixed some spaghetti and meatballs, and he was on his second helping. and he said, "Ted, I thought you don't eat meat." I said, "I don't." He said, "So what is this?" I said, "It's not meat." He was on his second helping.
Absolutely.
And did not know that he wasn't eating meat.
Yeah.
And because his mama taught my wife how to cook. And she used those herbs and seasonings that are not only good for taste, but have a chunk full of nutrients.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's just so amazing. You know, I have a thing I do on cancer, and I show a slide where if you add mushrooms and seeds and so forth to the meal, not only does it decrease the chances, does it then add nutrition to the food, it increases some of those healthy cancer fighting nutrients by 13 times.
Wow. Turbocharges.
Turbocharges it. You know, and so what we're doing is we are basically brainwashing ourselves to an early grave. In other words, I don't like that.
Right. Well,
what do you mean you don't like it? Have you really eaten it?
Right. You know, have you experimented with it? Yes.
Yeah. You know, my brother, I went to when he was unfortunately, he didn't follow the same diet that I followed. And he developed all kinds of diabetes and hypertension and kidney failure and COPD and dementia and gangrene. He had all kinds of stuff. And so I went to North Carolina and ended up spending 2.5 months there. And they wanted to amputate. I said, no, we're not going to amputate. I've treated worse than that. He said he's willing to change. And so I stayed there and started cooking. And one day he said, Rocky, either your cooking is getting better or my taste buds are changing. And so I think that, you know, I said maybe it's a little bit of both, you know. Now, Doc, we done scratched the surface of this thing.
Right.
Now, you're going to have to commit to coming back another 2-3 times, 4 times, 5 times, so we can deal, because there's so many aspects of this.
Yes.
Not only on the nutritional side, but on the social side, on the economic side, that we have to address. Brother Frank, you got any closing comments that you need to make, or Doc, is there something burning that you want to lead us out with?
Well, yeah. I let me say that. Well, Frank, you go ahead first, and then I'll comment.
No, you go ahead, Doc. Mm-hmm.
All right. What I want to say is, one, yes, I will come back as many times as necessary to cover this topic adequately, because it's so important. Two, remember, animal food feeds cancer. And then finally, commit this to memory. Going plant-based is like having sex. If you didn't enjoy it, you weren't doing it right.
All right. I like that. I like that. Brother Frank.
Thank you, Doctors Theodore Watkins and Milton Mills. If you want to make an appointment with Dr. Watkins, call 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5, or go on www.twiliving.com. That's twiliving.com, or call 202-388-0992. We also want to thank Kalia Chapman, our fantastic engineer, Mayuki Williams, Acting General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all the other WPFW staff, engineers, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you, Joni Eisenberg, for what you do to keep DC healthy. Thank you, Ola Dara and Maccabee, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, you can listen to the East with Brother Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen in next Monday at 2 p.m. for another life-saving broadcast of To Your
Ital, we're Ital, and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and leave the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish, or dairy, they look at me strangely. They don't really
realize I eat a wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yeah, how when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lips, no ears, no toe, nah, no leg. Me prefer fruit and vegetable instead. Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me no eat them, they think. They look for me and scratch them chin and start wondering. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan man. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. Yo, why you want me eat? I eat canola, ackee, sweet potato, yam, banana, and tomato, cabbage, spinach, avocado, chocho, butter, bean, and cocoa, courgette, millet, plantain, rice and peas and pumpkin, mango, dates and guava, chickpeas and cassava, Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, onion, fennel and cucumber, plum, pear and papaya, aubergine and saya, lime, lentils and quinoa, homemade bread and homemade flour, watercress and okra, tofu and sweet pepper, couscous and carrot, broccoli and coconut, peaches, apples, apricot, baked food, jackfruit, sour, sap, pistachios, to choose an almond, walnut, peanut, also pecan, sesame seeds, some flour, lemon, orange, pineapple and melon, bulgur, wheat and garlic, hijiki and rocket, pacho and pomegranate, kiwi, corn and turnip, berries, cherries and strawberries, beetroot, grapefruit and celery. You see the meat unnecessary with the legs. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. Look how me big and me say, look how me strong. Some people can't believe, say, I could be a vegan. If you want a healthy body, check the real Rasta man. Cause Rasta man will tell you about the right nutrition. Me get me calcium, me sodium, me get potassium. Me get me zinc, me get me iron and me magnesium. Instead of yam, the fish me yam, I want the fish yam. Like the kelp and Irish ones that go in at the ocean. Me get me proteins and me mineral, me get me calorie. The vitamins A, the B, the C, the D, the E, the F, the G. Essential fatty acid like the omega 3. Me get me fiber and me carbohydrates in my body. Don't forget your water, drink a few glasses a day. The toxins in your body, just flush them away. Some of the things you eat, stopping on your body and decay. When it comes to food, I don't play. Me tell them, say, how when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan. A lot of people would have stopped eating meat if they had to kill the animal before they could have eat. Look at the way the animal and get treat. Unsanitary condition where some of them keep it. We're supposed to eat the meat, we would have shot it. You wouldn't need a knife and a fork, you know, seed. You can't eat it raw, you have to cook it complete and put on vegetable seasoning to make it taste sweet. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish and no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yam. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. It's up to you. You can eat what you want to. You can be a vegan and you can be healthy too. There's a lot of choice around, many foods around you. Me just remember, some more I may forget to tell you. The nectarines, the clementines, the tangerines and guanabana. Like the house and ginger, kale and spirulina, mung beans, one more pasta. And etc, etc.
No deadass, no feathers.
What do Angela Davis, Mehdi Hasan, Ibrahim X. Kendi, V, formerly Eve Ensler, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Sonia Sanchez, Amy Goodman, Medea Benjamin, Mosab Abu Toha, Congresswoman Cori Bush, Noura Erekat, Congressman Jamal Bowman, Farafina Khan, Linda Sarsour, Isra Shakir, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Sweet Honey in the Rock, and WPFW have in common? Well, Busboys and Poets 2025, Peace Ball, Voice voices of justice and liberation, an event featuring live music, speeches, performances, food, and drink. Details, including a complete list of speakers and performers, as well as how you can both support WPFW and join the fun on Saturday, January 18th, 8 p.m. at Arena Stage's Mead Center for American Theater, can be found at WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. It is such an exciting day. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or a daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations. And then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW. And it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show, you and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon, or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Today, Judge Eileen Cannon has given the green light for the release of Special Counsel Jack Smith's report on his investigation into Donald Trump and his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Jack Smith recently resigned from his role as Special Counsel, doing so as promised before Trump takes office again next week. Judge Cannon scheduled a court hearing later this week on Attorney General Merrick Garland's plan to share with some lawmakers the part of Smith's report dealing with a classified documents case. In the meantime, she is continuing to halt the department from disclosing that aspect of the report to anyone outside of the agency. Dangerous weather and its damaging effects impact millions of people around the world. For residents of Los Angeles, California, 6 wildfires have broken out over the last 6 days that have created immense danger and caused immeasurable damage. At least 24 people have died, and dozens more are still missing. Of the 6 wildfires that erupted in LA, the Palisades and Eaton fires are likely the second and fourth most destructive in California history, having burned through 37,000 acres of land collectively. As of this afternoon, the Palisades fire is at least 14% contained, and the Eaton fire is at least 30% contained. First responders continue to fiercely battle the devastating fires, but the city is not out of the woods yet, as more winds are on the horizon through Wednesday that can intensify the situation. During a press conference earlier today, Los Angeles County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney said with caution, and I quote, "The anticipated winds, combined with low humidities and low fuel moistures, will keep the fire threat in all of Los Angeles County critical," end quote. To your local news, in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams announced today in his weekly press conference that he's naming 2 top advisors to deputy mayor positions, and this is a move that comes after one of the aides sought to leave City Hall for a private sector job. The 2 top advisors are Tiffany Raspberry, Adams' Intergovernmental Affairs Director, and Camille Joseph Varlack, his Chief of Staff. They will take on the deputy mayor roles effective immediately. According to Mayor Adams, Joseph Varlack is becoming the deputy mayor of administration, while Raspberry is being given the title Deputy Mayor of Intergovernmental Affairs. Both titles are new to the city government bureaucracy. In the D.C. area, WSSC Water is responding to over 60 water main breaks and leaks and is asking residents to limit their water use so that crews can make repairs. WSSC Water urged 1.9 million customers in Prince George's County and Montgomery County, Maryland, to conserve their water usage in order to save it for essential use only. According to Lynn Riggins, a spokesperson at WSSC Water, essential use only means taking shorter showers. And she added, if you cannot do your laundry or run your dishwasher today, that would be great. Also, quote, limit toilet flushing. I know it's tough, but don't flush after every use. The more water we can conserve